Joe will pull a twist later in the chapter, and it may be in these notes I made, but he said, similarly, there's no hypnotism end. I mean, you say that's sin, that's disease, that's corruption. That's not true. Everything that isn't God is hypnotism. And there's no hypnotism and sin, no hypnotism and crime, just hypnotism. Can you see then that the world, which is not the kingdom, is simply hypnotism appearing as multiplicity? It's not enough to see it, glimpse it, understand it. You can understand it for 20 more years and still be hypnotized unless you do what the guru does, the Swami. You get into that cave and sit there with this truth and let it seep in. Every time I hear of or see a picture of a guru sitting in a cave, I'm looking at a symbol of something else. That guru represents my human mind, and that cave represents my soul. And my mind is sitting in the cave of my soul, waiting. And then as I graduate, that Swami becomes no longer my mind, but my soul. And that cave becomes my spirit. And then my soul sits within my spirit. And then my spirit sits within my Christ. Always, we are waiting on the Lord. You must take these truths into consciousness and patiently rest with them. You cannot memorize it. If you have a favorite rocking chair, get into it, sit with an hour in it for 1 hour with this truth or every truth you find in that chapter, and just let it sink in while you are in a state of contemplation and then no thought, until when you walk out one day, there's not even a you walking out. There's just the invisible Spirit of God, consciously. And the form is under the guidance of that Spirit. Wherever it appears, it is expressing the invisible oneness attained in consciousness. And in its expression of that oneness, the loaves and fishes fall from the sky. The waters part. The snarls are unsnarled. The gold appears in the fish's mouth. Lazarus walks forth. Oneness, without a second, is the key. Oneness in consciousness, faithfully upheld, faithfully studied, faithfully meditated upon, faithfully digested, until it is you. Until the dreamer is no more. As you live in the pages of the Bible and find yourselves walking in those scenes depicted there, and find yourselves walking with the Master, and see the situations that arose, and realize that every situation that came to this Master came to one self realized. it then becomes easier to know that as this also came to Paul, to Peter, presumably to James, and later to others, such as Joel, why can't the things of the world come to the one self realized where you are? Isn't that the end of all human dreaming? To walk in the dream untouched by it. So immersed in truth that you don't even have to recognize the dream. It explodes against your true selfhood. And every form of deviltry that is known to man simply dissolves in the sunshine of your being. Oh, we're far away from that. But we're also very close to that. Close isn't enough. Practice daily, the same as dying daily. Being born daily is dying daily. Because as you're being born to the one self, you're dying to the multiplicity. They go hand in hand. Christ in you is a fact. Your conscious realization of Christ is the birth. Rising to the conscious knowledge that Christ in me is myself is the preparation for the risen Christ in consciousness. When Christ rises in an individual on any part of the earth, we have the one self walking in a form visible to men. And even the shadow of such an individual is a healing influence upon the world. No one can tell you your true destiny except the one self realized. In that acceptance and realization, your destiny is established. From that point on, you become a total instrument of the Father wherever you go. We are being honed so carefully to oneness because you cannot live in the world of soul any other way. That's your calling card. That's what you present at the gate of soul. I am the one. For without oneness in the soul world, you could not possibly survive. There is no survival in reality for two. The kingdom of God has only one inhabitant, the one self. No mortal has ever entered the kingdom of God without first leaving mortality behind. If we can interpret Joel's statement that no one has ever died in the kingdom of God, I think we can fairly and correctly state that he is saying that all death on earth is hypnosis. That is worth 30 meditations. All death on earth is hypnosis. It is not his words. It is the residue of what he said. There has never been a death in the kingdom of God. And we know that the kingdom of God is not the world where death occurs, but death occurs in the world that is not the creation and must be hypnosis. It's the ultimate hypnosis, and that's why it is the last enemy. Not really, but at least Paul said so. The first death is human birth. The second death is the death of that which was born humanly. And if all there is oneself, then we must recognize every child as that oneself. To believe that a child is not the oneself is to not know the identity of the child or the incorporeal reality of the child. And that too is a form of hypnosis. If you were to go back then to reconceive your child in actuality, you would now do it with the conscious awareness that only God is, and therefore there is no mother and no child as separate, divided individuals. There is only God being. And in case you're not aware of it, wherever this is done, the birth is completely painless. Completely. A number of women have experimented with it. There has never been a pain reported. And if that's all you got out of the seminar, it would still change your entire life if it were practiced. You can look at the ranch. You can look at the office. You can look at the city council. You can look at the government. You can look at the home and recognize the invisible reality of only God being present. Remove all of the physical structures in your consciousness and know that only the one self is here. And you are entitled to be called one who is trying to be the Son of God. Whatever you see, says Joel, in the nature of sin, disease, or death, is a part of the hypnosis. Christ is liberating us from three quarters of the misery of this earth. If we could catch that a million cancer victims are under hypnosis, and we too for accepting it. And if through this glimpse it is demonstrated even in one case you are bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. If you can unsee an accident on the highway as hypnosis, restore the reality of one invisible self present and watch the results and discover that you have actually demonstrated the presence of God. You are bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And we have dozens of opportunities to do that every single day. All of them serving also to reconfirm our awareness of truth, to strengthen our own confidence beyond the point of wavering, and to let us march forth totally certain that in my oneness with God, in my acceptance of the one infinite self everywhere without opposite, I am truly in the secret place of the Most High. When we can walk forth with that confidence, this cannot be the same world anymore. A total repudiation of the belief of this world is necessary to accept the truth that there is only God and no other. There is only God and the kingdom of God and no other. And that your very life is not the life that courses through your veins. That is not your life. Don't mistake that electrical energy for your life. Your life is the undivided life of God. It will never flow through a human body. And it will never die when there is no longer a human body there. But you are living in that life, and all that remains is for you to catch up with the truth of your own being, to awaken from the belief that you are living in a different life than that life of God. And that is commitment too. And that takes work. That takes repetitive work. It takes honesty, to be honest with yourself. It takes courage. It takes a million things, but they are all present in your life to flow through you and do the work for you. It only takes accepting who you are. Your identity is what enables you to live in oneness with God. Forsake your identity for a human identity, or for a part-time human identity, or a 50% human identity. And it would be just the same as diluting your own bloodstream with water. You cannot dilute your life stream, but you can walk away from it. Therefore, you are accepting that I am the one body in which the one life flows. My body has no boundaries. My body does not begin at one point in time and end in another. I am that spiritual body without beginning or end, which always has been, always will be, and is now. And that body is not only everywhere, it is right here where my form seems to be. And this form is a mental image entertained about my spiritual infinite body, through which the life of God flows now, and that is my life, and that is my body. There is no God and another. life or another body. You are accepting Christ's identity. Ultimately, in the acceptance of Christ's identity, you are revealed as that which is God individualizing. And then you can fully see why there is no God and. Only the invisible Christ is here. Whatever you see in the nature of sin, disease, or death is a part of the hypnosis. Furthermore, whatever you see as good humanhood, whatever you see as good humanhood is also a part of the same hypnosis. That means the church deacon is as much a part of the hypnosis as the person who puts his hand in the basket and removes 35 cents. All hypnotized. And we have all been caught in that hypnosis. We have all identified the thief. We have all commented upon shenanigans in Washington. You know, and I know, that we're all caught off guard. And I say we can joke about it as much as we like. Nothing says we must crawl into a cave. We can look at all the foolishness. We can look at all the horror. But we may not accept it as real. Joke about it all you like. Lament about it. But don't accept it as reality, because it is not that which is created by the One. It does not have the substance of the One. It is not under the law of the One. It is not the activity of the One. It is hypnosis. Hypnosis cosmically responded to individually. Double hypnosis. By the time it reaches you, it is universal hypnosis being presented to you for personal acceptance. And if you're in a personal sense of life, you accept it. And it's a wonderful thing. Because when you accept it, you will ultimately discover you're in a personal sense of life. And if it weren't there, you might be lulled into the belief that you were divine even while you were living as a personal human being. There are alarm clocks all over this world to wake us up. And if we said it before, we'll say it again. Every jolt is one of those alarm clocks. There could be an instant reaction. I'm out of myself. That's where I was caught. Don't tell me, ask me why. But out here I was doing this, and when I turned around, I wasn't in myself again. It used to be one of my minor ambitions to be awakened at 3 a.m, but still be aware of who I am instantly. I might add, it still is my ambition. Anyway, Joel is with us very much, as you know, right now, because the words are never separated from the speaker. Continue in my words, said the Christ. I believe that may be one of the reasons Joel said that I will never be separated from my students. I even like to feel he prompted that individual to send the bouquet this morning. There are not good human beings or bad human beings. There are not diseased human beings or healthy human beings. Until you can be dehypnotized to know that there is only God, the one life, one soul, one spirit, one substance, one law, and one activity, you will have to experience death. He's laying it on the line. Until you know all that, you will have to experience death. I find great joy in reversing that by reading it to myself. Then if I know all this, then I don't have to experience death. And of course, that's what he meant. That's all from page 60 in Realization of Oneness. The human mind is a state of hypnosis. Now, I don't know if there's a professor of psychology sitting in our audience or not who might disagree. But we have here the statement that the human mind is a state of hypnosis. And we have another statement by Paul, have ye that mind which is in Christ Jesus, presumably because that is not a state of hypnosis. And so our conscious and subconscious minds are states of hypnosis. That might have shocked Sigmund Freud or Jung or any other great contributors to our mind consciousness. But the Christ consciousness says there never was a man or woman who walked this earth. There was only the self of God appearing to human sense. We were looking at divine consciousness from a human consciousness, with the world consciousness in between, and lo and behold, there was a human race. But the flesh profiteth nothing, the flesh withereth, the one self is all that is. And when you go back to the source and live in and as the source, you are both cause and manifestation, and your world manifests the divine cause. The power of spirit is literally your own being. A person could live with these truths for 6 months or a year. Paul may have done that, just that, for 9 years before he actually went out into the world after the illumination. 9 years to solidify one experience. One young lady told me last night that she felt there was still ego in her. And she said she had studied for many years, but in this particular message, she'd been studying for 4 years. My opinion was that in 4 years, to even recognize that ego is still strong is a great development. Because the recognition that the ego, which is the sense of a second self, the recognition of it is the beginning of the annihilation of it. Most of the world doesn't walk with the knowledge that my ego is too strong. And this individual wasn't talking about vanity in that sense, but about the sense of being a self, a personal, individual self. That's the ego. To recognize that as the real antagonist, the adversary, is what was meant in that statement, agree with thine adversary. Your sense of being an individual personal self is your adversary. And it will hypnotize you because it is hypnosis at work. When we conquer the personal sense of self or the ego, which wants to live a life of its own and make its own achievements and decisions, and we finally conquer that person, we are committing to some degree to our own divinity, which is our only ego. And this counterfeit ego, this imitation of the original, which passes as our ego, is nothing but a cosmic orphan, pretending to be us, pretending to be the divine I. You might just as well try to live in your own shadow. Ultimately, it has to be revealed as a nothingness, and that is just what death does. It reveals the nothingness of the human ego. The human mind is a state of hypnosis, and until we can shut off the five senses and develop an inner discernment, we are always going to see, hear, taste, touch, and smell error. Well, if you started with that statement, shut off the senses, you might spend 50 years trying to do it. But if you took his previous sentence and established the selfhood of divinity, this in turn would eliminate the activity of the five senses. So you don't have to go after the eye and the ear and the nose or the touch. You can make little practice exercises, which many of us have done many times, about them, but basically, until you have established the center of being as the allness of you, these senses will always be the little pricks of the devil, you might say, coming at you with little ideas to tempt you into mortality. That statement and all the statements coming to us today are subjects for private meditation. I know I could go on forever, and we may find that some of us cannot sit as long as others, but we're still with some important statements here. If we look through our eyes at the people of this world, all we shall ever see are human beings. At one time, that's all we ever expected to see or wanted to see. Now he's saying that's all we shall ever see if we look at people just through our eyes. But spiritual awareness reveals the truth of being. which enables us to see that which is not visible and to hear that which is not audible and to know that which is not knowable with our human senses. I think it would be a good idea to leave some more of these for some other time, because we can benefit at this point by a group awareness that we can identify each other as the one life. I can look at you, even with visible human eyes, and see, not see with eyes, but see with my soul, the one life that you represent. I can see the visible image is not the one life, and I can draw the line between them, and until that one life that you are is coming forth as the visible image, you are not in oneness with yourself. You can look at others around you, and their actions tell you this is not the activity of the one life. We're not denying that this activity is there. There's a criminal. But this is not the activity of the one life, which is there. This is the world mind working through the individual human minds and painting its animated images without substance. There is no substance in a criminal. That's why he dies. There is no substance in a good person. That's why he dies. There is only substance in your divine self, and it does not die for that reason. And if you are sowing to the truth, to the substance, and recognizing with your soul the substance that is present where the world mind is trying to make you recognize the animated image, you are building another consciousness. And that is the consciousness that will eliminates the experience of death. The one life that you do not see is the life of everyone you are looking at, and that is how you come into the acceptance of oneness. Now, when you do not accept that one life, you remember the statement, what you measure out to another is what comes back to you. When you do not recognize that one life, you're really crucifying Christ all over again. You're saying that one life isn't there. You just said Christ isn't there. And when you've said that, you've just crucified yourself. You said because Christ isn't there, Christ isn't here, because the Christ that is there is everywhere, and if the Christ that is everywhere is not there, it isn't here. You can't put it right here. You can't have divine life here without having it there. When you accept it there, when you accepted it last night in the Middle East, no matter what you saw, whether it was the terrorist or the victim, when you accepted the one divine life in South Africa, whether it was the oppressor or the oppressed, you didn't realize at the time, perhaps, but you were accepting your one divine life as present everywhere. You cannot divide it. And so this isn't what might be called idealism or altruism. You are recognizing your life as the life of that victim. You had better learn to recognize it as the life of anything that walks or crawls. Even a stone. You're not talking about the life in that form. You're talking about the life that that form is trying to duplicate. Because everything on this earth is a duplicate of that one life. So to the life. When you walk through the doors, remember, only God is on the other side of those doors, just as only God is on this side. And there's nothing outside those doors that is not hypnosis. Nothing. Because only the life of God is out there. And if the life of God in you and the life of God out there are one, all that's out there right now is you. Literally. That's all that is on the other side of the door. You. Your divine life. The one indivisible life. Because there is no God life and any other. Deny it out there, and you're back into the dream. The purpose of today's class was to strengthen your capacity to live in your soul. Because when you recognize the one life, that is a soul faculty working. Only soul recognizes the one life. The mind may work with it, but the realization of it comes in your soul. And so if you've been wondering how to strengthen your capacity to live in your soul, you've been given a tool today. There is only God and no other. And if you're a creative sort, you can amplify that very easily, because there is only God. Only spiritual law, only divine law exists. That's all there is. And therefore, what is not under divine law does not exist. Whatever is not showing forth the activity of divine law is non-existent. It's part of the hypnotism. Divine law is all that is here because only God is here. And everything that you see cannot be here if it is not divine activity. And when you are able to discriminate between what is divine activity and what is not, you will know that your soul is doing the discriminating for you. We're awakening to our souls and cooperating with the divine instruction given through the revelators and through our teacher, Joel. Walk into yourself when you walk through the door, knowledgeably, quietly, silently. The moment you speak of it, you're back into the dream. Because you're speaking it to mortality. And the only concession I can make is to explain that when I'm in the dream, explaining anything, it's because even Jesus walked the earth speaking to the world. But most of what he directed was to those who were open to receive, because they had been selected by their own spiritual advancement to hear the word instead of the words. So I expect that you are hearing the word and not the words. 8 a.m., 7:30 is the meditation, 8 a.m. is the class. I'll still be here to answer any relative questions that you may have right now. And thank you very much.